back to the official Liberty A-League podcast and a special Matilda's reaction after a big 4-0 win over Czechia last night. Campbell Johnson here in the hot seat and joined by Grace Gill, who was on the call last night. Grace, what a game.
What a game. What a way for the Matildas to start 2023 with four goals against Czechia and, of course, up at Gosford. A beautiful night at the stadium there.
What did you make of the game? You were on the call for it. It was a tough one before halftime, but then they really ran away with it.
Yeah, there was a lot of chatter coming into the game about Czechia and how they were going to set up defensively, how tough they were going to be. And I think that really rang true for the first 45 minutes. It was a really cagey half. I thought the Matildas midfield struggled to get on the ball. I thought it felt a bit scrappy and transitional. But halftime really, really turned things around, and perhaps a bit of fatigue as well from Czechia started to play in. And the Matildas, to their credit, were able to keep Czechia out for the first half. It could have been a very different story. They did have some really good chances, but the second half was definitely all the Matildas.
Yeah, while watching the first half, I know myself, I was thinking, gee, the Matildas are really struggling in that final third, really looking wasteful at times. There were a few efforts from Karakuni Cross and Katrina Gori where kind of the attack just halted and they just thought, well, I'll have a crack, and nothing was really happening ahead. What did you make of the attack in that opening half?
Yeah, early on in the game, there were some long-range efforts from Gori, who can score from that kind of
Absolutely.
Distance, and she's really comfortable, and Karakuni Cross as well. They've both got that in their locker. As the half wore on, there were a couple of long balls, deliveries into the box that we've seen sometimes in the past from the Matildas, where they get a bit frustrated or a little bit impatient, and they try and find Sam Kerr with that long ball over the top. It didn't happen much, but it just started to wear in into the tail end of that first half, and it had an air of uncertainty about how that second 45 minutes was going to play out. But the Matildas came out a very different team, and I think, as I said, Czechia just started to tire and started to fatigue. And when the game opened up a little bit more, the Matildas were able to capitalize in their final third in the way that Czechia hadn't been able to do so in the first half.
And Tony Gustavsson spoke post-game about what happened at halftime, because it really was a tale of two halves. Sam Kerr apparently was very influential in the halftime locker room. How big of an impact do you think she made on this game?
Yeah, I'm so intrigued to know what that halftime chat was and to what Sam said to the players or addressed the girls with. And I thought for her own personal performance, she played a bit of a different role, and she wasn't as impactful as we've seen from Sam Kerr. But what she was really good at was those little connecting passes. She kept dropping quite deep to get the ball, and perhaps that was a little bit of frustration coming looking for the ball, but she played a different role. And she obviously ended up getting a goal herself, but it wasn't the usual kind of Sam Kerr involvement that we see from games. But of course, what happened off the pitch obviously worked and had an impact. And I did see Tony Gustavsson have a quick chat to both Sam Kerr and Steph Catley at the halftime break as they were coming off the field. And obviously a word, a discussion around what the halftime conversation was going to be. And Sam Kerr, to at least what Tony Gustavsson had shared with us at post-game, was that she led that chat.
It's so important for your captain to really, or for your, one of your star players, I should say, to really stand up in those moments. And she did just that, especially at halftime. And you're right, perhaps not exactly the prototypical Sam Kerr performance, but one that we needed in other ways. What did you make of the Matildas tactically? Is it what you expected? Is this what we've come to expect from a Tony Gustavsson side? What did you see in the game?
Yeah, well, I think if we start with personnel and the lineup, I think of the players that were available that he had for the game, it forced or somewhat forced the decision around the 4-3-3 formation, where we saw a really familiar midfield in Karakuni Cross and Katrina Gori, and in front of them, Mary Fowler, who hasn't played that much recently for the Matildas nor for Man City. And it didn't work in the way that we've seen in recent Matildas games. And I thought for the first time in, I think, four consecutive games, the Karakuni Cross, Katrina Gori midfield two did not hum along in the way that we have seen it do so. When those changes were made and EVE came in, it just opened up a little bit of space for Cooney Cross, and I thought she had a much improved second half. But it was interesting tactically as well, the slight shift from that more traditional 4-3-3 to what we've seen the Matildas deploy on a few occasions is this 4-4-2 with those two wingers in the four, providing a lot of attacking threats. So Hayley Russo and Courtney Vine and Alex Chidiak when she came on. And I think in my mind, that formation works so much better for this squad.
And it was something that I noticed, at least tactically from watching the game, was often in possession, looked a bit more like a 4-2-3-1, but then out of possession looked a bit more like a 4-4-2 with the 10 kind of pressing and allowing the interchanging of the striker and the 10 there just to give a bit more flexibility between those two players up top and then also to put the pressure on a Czechia defense. Halftime was the big talking point. Halftime subs of, you mentioned there, Emily Van Egmond, Larissa Kramer, Alex Chidiak and Claire Hunt. Let's talk about them. And firstly, let's just go with the girl of the moment, Claire Hunt. What a moment for her on debut. How incredible is that?
Yeah, unbelievable, Claire Hunt. She looked like a player that had been with this squad for years, and she slotted in to my mind and to my eye so seamlessly, which is a credit to, I think, the kind of person she is, I think the kind of character she is, and to slot in alongside Claire Polkinghorne, record breaker for the night, and next to Claire Hunt, debutante. It was just a really excellent night. And the assist aside that she got, I just thought she looked really comfortable on the ball. Her distribution, she wasn't afraid to play those long diagonal balls over the top. And I really enjoyed watching Claire there. And, you know, I think given what she did in that 45 minutes, I'd be very unsurprised if we see her start against Spain on Sunday night.
That was going to be my next question. Do we see Claire Hunt start against Spain? It'll be an interesting one. Chidiak as well, really influential off the bench, no?
Oh, completely unsurprising. And, you know, this is something we've seen from Alex Chidiak for the Matildas on every opportunity she's been given. When she's come off the bench, the impact she has made for me has been outstanding. And the same thing goes for her playing for Melbourne Victory this season in the Liberty A-League. She's been excellent. So it didn't surprise me whatsoever, but I'm continually impressed by the impact she has and the energy she brings every time she comes on, her movement off the ball. She drags defenders with her when she looks for those runs through the lines, and just her one-touch play is a different kind of dimension to what we see in this Matildas midfield. And look, I think she's a real joy to watch.
I said it on Twitter last night as well. I said she looks like a woman possessed when she came on. She was just buzzing around the pitch doing all sorts. Does she start against Spain, do you think, in that? Because obviously Mary Fowler kind of struggled a little bit. Does she kind of fill that void?
You know, I'd love to see Chidiak start, and I think she's done enough to warrant a start and deserve a start. Where I guess I worry for her, or I worry for that not happening, is that I can see Tony Gustafsson sitting back and saying, well, she's so good off the bench. She's such a great impact. She's such a good game changer. And he speaks a lot about the starting 11 and the finishing 11. And every time she's come on for the Matildas, she has been excellent. So I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't start, but personally, I'd really love to see her get a start in Guernsey.
Well, we'll have to see on Sunday at 6 p.m. Grace, we're going to do your top five performers, your top five best on from this game. There's plenty to choose from, but who have you got as your number one best on ground?
Yeah, well, for me, that has to be Hayley Russo. I thought the first half, for the most part, was a very quiet half by the Matildas, and I don't think anyone really, really stood up in my eyes, but certainly this second half, Hayley Russo, and look, the reason why I was so impressed by her, not only her performance, her work rate, her work ethic, of course, her goals as well, but this is a player who in 10 games for Manchester City this year has only started one. She's played very few match minutes. So for her to run out a game under pretty warm conditions in Gosford and just look to have that kind of energy about her that she's played, you know, 90 minutes week in, week out, which is not the case for Hayley Russo, that really impressed me. And I was so pleased for her to get on the score sheet. Almost looked like a moment of relief when she scored that first goal. It was a really muted, really tempered celebration, but I think a really well-deserved one as well.
She was sensational, just especially in that second half, really came to life, but she was causing problems all throughout the first as well. Who's your next best on?
I have to say Alex Chidiak. She didn't have as many minutes to offer what she does so well, but in the time that she was on, I thought she was instrumental in two of the goals at least she had part in, and especially that goal with the one touch out to Charlie Grant. That was just such pretty football. And it's those moments that you go, this is why she's so important to this Matildas team setup. And even for the few minutes that she did play last night, I thought Alex Chidiak had a great performance.
Yeah, she's banging down the door. I think it's fair to say, staking her claim and her case. Who's your third best?
I've got Charlie Grant. I think she's a player who has been deployed in a position that we all know Ellie Carpenter has owned in the Matilda squad for as long as she has. But I think she has just gone from strength to strength and made the position her own. I think watching her development and her journey in that right fullback position has been really admirable, and she's just taken it in her stride. And she had a good few battles, like really physical foot race battles last night. And I felt at the end of the 90 minutes, she came out on top of those battles, and it was a really impressive performance.
For me, out of the players who started, she was the best in my opinion. I thought she was absolutely sensational, perhaps doesn't get the plaudits she deserves, and she's also a great character as well. So fantastic to see her perform well. We'll have some discussions about her later on and her future in the Matildas. Who's your fourth best performer on the day, Grace?
I've got to go with Kyra Cooney-Cross. Again, a quiet half, but I think a lot of these players had a quiet first half. But that second half, we saw these moments from Kyra that really highlighted her strengths, which is running with the ball at her feet, breaking through lines, picking out those passes. And I thought into that second 45 minutes, it really opened up for Kyra, and she looked like the player that has been playing for great club form back with Hammarby. And that was really pleasing to see for Kyra. So I thought a much improved second half. And again, she was really important in a couple of those goals.
Yeah, it was a moment where she lost the ball, then scrambled to win it back, and then played a brilliant ball over the top. It shone for me.
No, completely agree. And I know the exact moment you're talking about, because it's so easy as a player to drop your head and trying to get back into a recovery type of position. But it looked like she had that mentality and grit about her to say, no, I've made this mistake here. I'm going to make amends for it. And not only did she make amends, but then she turned it into an attacking opportunity. So yeah, I completely agree. That was a real pivotal moment.
Brilliantly weighted ball over the top as well, it must be said. The last player in your five best performers, Grace, who gets the nod?
Yeah, look, I've got a few here, so this is hard to narrow it down
like
to five.
Choosing your favourite child.
That's right. No, but I will go with Claire Hunt for the fact that, you know, a debutant in this team, to come on at halftime and just to slot in the way that she did with aplomb, it just speaks to the kind of player I think we could see Claire Hunt be. And if that's her debut, and if that's her benchmark for a Matildas and national team call-up and performance, I think she's got a very bright future ahead of her in this side.
Do you think she starts against Spain? I thought Ivy Lewick, like, obviously very experienced and had to be called back into the team, some negotiation, you know, some from Tony Gustafsson. But do you see her start potentially against Spain this weekend?
You know what? I think she will. And I think that for the reason that, yeah, Ivy did look a little out of sorts. And she also went off at a point where, yeah, she'd headed the ball. And Andy Harper did point this out at the halftime show, that she went down after that header and looked a little bit foggy. And at that point, we saw Claire Hunt warming up. So whether or not she picked up a little bit of a knock, we know that Alana Kennedy was unavailable for selection in the squad, so she may not be ready. And the alternative there is then, you know, bringing Steph Catley centrally, looking at Courtney Nevin out on the left. And look, that's not my preferred approach for this Matilda side. I think Catley is excellent, and she just missed out on my top five. I'll make mention.
She did play well, though.
She did. She had a great game, but that's just Steph Catley. She's impressive every single time she pulls on the green and gold. But I don't want to see Steph Catley in the center of the park, because I think she is the best left fullback in the world. So I do think we'll see Claire Hunt start on Sunday.
It'd be great to see. And she does provide so much going forward, Steph Catley. You don't want to kind of hamper that at any point. Grace, what can we expect to see this Sunday for the Spain game, 6 p.m. at CommBank? What are your thoughts ahead of it? What are we going to see from Spain? What are we going to see from the Matildas? Spain beat Jamaica 3-0 just before this game. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, we know the quality that this Spanish women's national team possess. They're such a good possession-based football team. It was the case against Jamaica. It took them a little while to wear down the Jamaican team, but unsurprisingly, really pretty football, really tidy on the ball, and obviously a big, I guess, benchmark to the result against Spain last year where the Matildas lost 7-0. Understand there's a lot of permutations around the differences of the sides in both the Spanish team and the Matildas team. But what I think we can expect to see on Sunday against Spain is Spain holding probably more possession. Last night, the Matildas were definitely dominating possession. It was around about 70-30 for a good majority of the game. Matildas in the favour of the 70% possession. And I wouldn't be surprised if that swings way back into the favour of Spain on Sunday. And the Matildas will have to set up and be patient defensively, be really compact, and pick and choose their times to put pressure on to win the ball back. But we know from Spain that they are just such a wonderful ball-playing team. So I think we can expect a pretty different kind of showcase on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a massive test for the Matilda and a big for the Matildas, sorry, and a big tournament preparation for the World Cup. We've heard Tony Gustavsson talk about that a lot, about how this is really a replication of the group stage and what they want to see from that and approaching it in a similar way. What have you made of the Spanish coach's comments coming into this game around the personnel at his disposal and the situation with that?
Yeah, I mean, we all know that the 15 players who were in a standoff with the Spanish Federation at the moment, they're not here, they're not travelling with the team and they haven't played with the team since last year. And the coach, I think, like any coach would, came to the defence of the players that he does have at the moment and spoke about wanting to respect the players that are here and the players that have been doing a job for the national team, which they have been. And that's the thing. There's these 15 world-class players who are currently not playing for the team. And I guess another generation have come in and performed really, really well. But of course, as football fans, we want to see the best teams, the best players at the World Cup. And look, I'm intrigued as to how this one plays out. But yeah, of course, I think any coach is going to jump to the defence of their players.
Yeah, I think you can't really say that he's done anything wrong in that regard. I think he's spot on with his approach to it. And let's hope we can see a full strength Spanish side for the World Cup. We've got some listener questions. Threw it out to the listeners last night after the game to see what burning questions they had surrounding the Matilda. So let's get straight into them, Grace. Lavender Barge, a big football Twitter fan, has asked, should Chids be starting? We touched on it just then. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, well, as I touched on, I would love to see Chid start. I would love to see her in that starting 11. I think she's done enough. I think she's proved herself. But as mentioned, I'm not sure that is how Tony Gustafsson will want to use her. And that's my one concern around her potential to start. But do I think she should start? Yes, I do.
I concur with your statements there, Grace. David Meiklejohn asked the same thing, but he also asked, how does Alana Kennedy get back into this side? Obviously, wasn't available for this one. Ivy Lewick started. Claire Hunt came in, looked great, as we mentioned just before. Can she get her way back into this one if she is fit?
Well, that's going to be the main question, a question of fitness. We saw a couple of weeks ago for Manchester City, her sub off late in the game. So whether or not she picked up a little knock or an injury, it's a little unclear at the moment what she's nursing, but she was unavailable for selection for last night's match. So if she does become available, I think then there's a little bit of a headache for Tony Gustafsson, whether or not he defaults back to the experience of Alana Kennedy, or he suggests that Claire Hunt did actually do a really good job and she's rewarded with another start. I'd go the latter purely for the fact that I think Claire Hunt did do very well. And I thought alongside Claire Polkinghorne, they looked very comfortable next to each other. And it may be a case now for Alana Kennedy of proving herself back in clubland before she returns to the national team setup, or if she is carrying a little knock or nursing an injury, that she's obviously fit and raring to go before she does step back out on the field.
And I think as well with that, I think in the back of Tony Gustafsson's mind will be, I need to also look towards the future as well. And a lot of the time people, especially fans, and fan sentiment does play a big part in not only selection, but also coaching selection in the future as well, whether the fans are happy with the coach and stuff like that. So I think he will give a bit of faith to Claire Hunt as well in terms of looking towards the future.
Yeah, perhaps. And I think, you know, we have to remember that this is a position on the field, these two centre-half roles that the Matildas for a while have struggled in depth for. Tony Gustafsson lured Ivy Lewick out of retirement, and now at 37 years old, we saw her last night. We've seen her in recent performances for the Matildas where she's become very important because she has been able to play that role in the centre of defence when called upon. So whether or not she's fit, available, Alana Kennedy's fit or available, but then you have suddenly at your disposal, a young player, Claire Hunt, who has had a really torrid injury run, now looking fit and comfortable in a national team environment. And yeah, look, I think, as I said, she did enough to be rewarded with a start.
Yeah, she's got a really important next few months, and I pray she stays fit for them. That would be, there'd be nothing more heartbreaking than that. Chris Leslie here. How much are we looking forward to the World Cup on Australian soil? What, how exciting is that? We now it's real. It's happening, Grace.
Yep.
How good?
Yep. 153 days to the Women's World Cup. And there was this real sense of nervous energy at Gosford Stadium last night, and 7,700 fans piled in to get behind the Matildas. And look, it was a little teaser of what we can expect, but tenfold. And when that 7,000 fans make the kind of noise and volume that they do, let alone a potential 80,000 fans cheering on the Matildas, it's starting to feel really real in a way that we've spoken about 2023 next year, but no, that's this year. And that's just a few months away. So yeah, we're so excited about it.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And Gosford, what a stadium, hey? So good.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Another one from David Meikle John. And it's one that I was thinking about as well. And I had a bit of discussion about it. Charlie Grant was sensational in this game at right back. But once Carpenter comes back, you presume she'll assume the mantle of the right back position. Can you see Charlie Grant moving centrally potentially just to provide depth and potential future option?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question, because Charlie Grant, as I mentioned, I think she's been immense for this Matildas team. And look, she's always going to be compared to Ellie Carpenter, but I don't think that's a fair comparison to make, because she's a great player in her own right, and she's going to bring a different dimension to the game to what Ellie Carpenter does. Whether or not she's going to push centrally, look, I don't think so. The only way in which I can see her push into a central position is if the Matildas play a five at the back with three centre-halves and Ellie Carpenter and the likes of Steph Catley bombing on with those high and wide players, and Charlie Grant be a part of that back three. Whether or not that's something that Tony Gustafsson will look to deploy, it could be an option. But otherwise, in a traditional four at the back, I don't see Charlie Grant pushing in centrally.
I'd really like to see that. Actually, I think that gets I think that gets the best out of Catley and both Carpenter as well in terms of their attacking prowess. So there you go, Grace Gill. I like
heard
it.
Heard it
I
here
like
first.
It. You heard it here first. If it happens, Tony Gustafsson listens to the podcast. We've got one from Taryn Heddo, one of the Channel 10 commentators alongside us for the Liberty A-League. She says, I'd love to hear you guys talk about Kyra Cooney-Cross versus Chidiac for a starting spot. I thought Kyra Cooney-Cross had a storming game, particularly in the first half where there wasn't much else doing. How do you think her play style differs from Chidiac, and how can Chiz secure a starting spot? So let's go Chidiac versus Kyra Cooney-Cross, because that's kind of the position that perhaps would be up for grabs there. What do you think about that? It's
a
tough
that's
one.
That's a great question. Look, I think they're very different midfielders, similar in terms of their creativity. Look, I think what Alex Chidiac brings is this incredible energy and buzziness around the field that I'd say the other Matildas midfielders don't quite have to that level that Chidiac does. I think what Kyra Cooney-Cross does well is probably sits a little bit deeper than Chidiac. She's got a really great passing range, her long balls over the top delivery. She's got great vision. And I think when Kyra has that moment to get her head up and look and pick out those passes, that's probably the part of her game that I'd like to see Kyra sit a little bit deeper for, whereas I'd deploy Chidiac a little higher up the field. So it's hard to sort of say who you choose over the two of them, because I think they offer such different elements and complexions to the game. I'm completely avoiding Taryn Heddo's question here, though.
I think it's a good question, and I think that's what makes it hard. I think it's they are different players, and I think, do you think they can perhaps both be in the same team, but Chidiac playing in the Mary Fowler role instead?
Yeah, I do, and you know, if we saw that against Spain, so for example, Katrina Gori, Kyra Cooney-Cross, which didn't quite work last night against Czechia, but that with Chidiac sitting in front of them, I'd really like to see that. And it would give Chidiac the freedom to move forward into where I think she's most impressive, which is that final third part of the field, because she's such a creative mind. and give Cooney Cross a bit more depth and vision and space to play in around. Because something that Cooney Cross also does really well is drive through lines with the ball at her feet. She's such a good dribbler of the ball. And when she has a bit more depth and she can pick up those spaces and find those gaps, I think that's when Cooney Cross is at her best.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens this Sunday with this game against Spain on 6 p.m. at CommBank Stadium. Go get your tickets. Now, we did a little bit of a preview on Tuesday, in fact. Teresa Pelias on the podcast with us, Grace, she said it would be a 4-0 win for the Matildas for that one. So she got that spot on.
Yeah, she's done well. Well done, T. Well done.
Well, now I'm going to throw it your way, Grace. What's your score prediction for Sunday?
Yeah, excellent question. So the Matildas, they tend to keep their scoring to the second half. So things don't generally open up in the first half. So I think it's going to be low scoring. I think we're going to see a 2-2 draw.
Ooh, that'll be an interesting one. 4 goals once again, but this time split between the two sides. Well, Grace, thank you so much for joining me today and good luck for the calls on the weekend.
Thanks so much, Cam.
There's so much content coming your way. Make sure to head to keepup.com.au to never miss a headline. There's plenty of Matildas content on there as well, and make sure you head out to CommBank and the rest of the games for the Cup of Nations this weekend and into next week as well. A-League's All Access last night, Ulysses Davila, absolutely heart-wrenching, a really emotional episode, but fantastic insight to his life and what he's been through. So make sure you go view that one on keepup.com.au. It's also on YouTube and Facebook as well for the A-Leagues and Keep Up. You do not want to miss that one. A new episode of the A-League Men's Podcast is currently out, and a special episode of the Players Pod is out as well with Guy Finkler and Archie Thompson, the mayor of everywhere. Really good. They're joining Robbie Cornthwaite, a fantastic bromance special there for a Valentine's week. So make sure you give that one a listen. We're also bringing you the best audio bites from Dubzone. So we've got the last weekend, the best audio bites from that one, the best interviews, and it will be taking a hiatus this weekend, Dubzone, but it will be back next weekend. Remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And that's all from the official Liberty A-League podcast and a Matilda special. I've been your host, Campbell Johnson, and as always, enjoy the football. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. These moves looking real nice in the future. Hold up on a minute, look nice, look nice. Yeah, we look nice, future looking nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future. Yeah, we look nice, future looking real nice, we don't need to tell them twice. Here comes the future.